Captain Wright, Reel 7. You were telling me how you were fishing and you caught a trout.
It was brown trout. I think it must have weighed 3 or 4 pounds. And after that, I caught 5 more smaller ones, you see. So I got back to the mess and I said to the cooks, I said, put that one on the colonel's table tomorrow for breakfast and that one for me. And I said, the rest as far as it'll go. But they could put quite a bit up from a 3 or 4 pound trout. And when the colonel came, he said, you know, his eyes popped. He said, where did this come from? The cook said, the MTO, sir. He said, where did you get this from, John? So I said, well, actually, it was the Taraka Sea. He said, you know bloody business there, had you? So it's out of our territory, you see. I said, no, sir, I like the look of it. He said, oh. He said, when are you going again? He said, as long as you bring me a trout back, you see, you can go there every weekend, take your batman. And I had 2 or 3 trout after since that. But, as I say, in Austria, we had quite a time, really.
How did you get on with the Austrian civilians?
Oh, they're very good. Yes, they're very good. A lot of them anti-Hitler. Of course, he'd gone into there, hadn't he? And, yes, they're very good. Very good. And we enjoyed our time there and just stayed there until I was demobbed, really.
What was life like in the mess? Can you give us a bit more idea what life was like in the officers' mess?
Fun. Oh, well, the officers' mess was very good. Considering what rations they had, I mean, on one occasion there was a bakery set up, and the corporal, the mess corporal, came to the colonel one day and he said, "Oh, a treat for you today." So he said, "Some bread coming up." He said, two slices of bread per officer." So the colonel said, "Oh, lovely. How much? What's the man going to get?" So there's nothing for the man. He said, "Well, we don't want anything." So he refused to have it in the mess. But we got on very well with everybody, really, very well indeed.
Were there any sort of duties you were on?
Well, not really. Only normal sort of training and. Everybody's getting a bit slack, and
in what way?
Well, fitness, you see, because we've been used to roughing it and whatnot. And I remember the colonel said on one occasion, he said, "Better take your man for a dog and stick, John." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "Good old march across country and whatnot." So of course, well, we did that, but. There was not much to do there at all, apart from saying that everybody was all right, and everybody was, and we had quite a time there. We had plenty to drink, you see, with the old vermouth, and we were sorry to leave there, but. You were talking about
Austria, yeah.
What association we had with the other battalion is Overrun and Mattel. When we were in Greece, we had a nice little solo school in our mess. I loved to go in a solo, and we had the colonel went on leave. And we had a chappie come to take over the battalion. He was a major. He'd been second in command somewhere, ex-guardsman, I think he was. wasn't a very big man either. And he used to come in right play solo, And he was one of those people who would never call unless he got a dead cert. And he broke our school up. And eventually, I went to the Durhams to play solo with them, as I knew several of them in the Durhams. And
which ones did you? Do you remember their names? Any of your particular friends in the Durhams?
No, I don't really. I've forgotten their names.
So you went to them.
They made me turn my. We used to have a green lanyard on the left shoulder. They wore theirs on the right, so I used to put mine on the right. But there was some really good times there. But of course there was horse riding.
You were telling me about when you went to the Durhams to play solo.
Fun. Far from us, you see. Their mess. And I used to go to their mess and used to play solo with them. But this major, John Oddy, his name was, he was a shocking type. He was a shocking type. As MTO, he came to me and he said, right, I want a Jeep. I said, I'm sorry, sir, they're not available. He said, they're all out. He said, I'll take the colonels. I said, the colonels is in workshop. So he said, right, I'll have a motorcycle. So I said, the motorcycles are all out, but they can't do. He said, I'll take yours. He said, mine's in workshop. He didn't know that I got what do you call the German motorcycle? Massive thing it was, 1,000cc. I got that parked away in with ours, and he said, "Right, I'll take one of those out of workshop." And he took this out of workshop. Now he got his own back on me. He came in the mess one day, and I was the only one there. He said, "Right, come and play me." What do you call it? Patience. So much card. And I got the whole lot out, the whole pack. He was very mad about that because he had to pay me, you see. And he was a horrible type. The type of man he was outside the sergeant's mess. Of course, you didn't go, if you were an officer, you didn't go to the sergeant's mess without you were invited. And he stood there with his kid gloves on outside the mess, challenge anybody, any sergeant to come out and fight him. He was a terrible man. However he got that position, I do not know. There it was. He was the one flying the ointment in Austria. And what was the name of the little Russian rider?
Cossacks. Cossacks.
Cossacks, that's right. Our people had the job of rounding the Cossacks up. And I was not afraid of. Well, I was a little bit nervy of two things. One of them was horses, and there are two things you can tell if you're afraid, and that's a horse and bees. And of course everybody had to have a horse, and I said to Collins, go out and see if you can pick me a quiet old thing, will you? Because when I was at work, we had a horse that was very wild, and I smashed it up with its shafts twice. Anyway, Collins comes back with this horse, a nice old thing, a saddle note, plodded gently along. And I went out one day, and signals officer, he was a competent rider, and he got a horse, you see. And I think he got his own back on me, because the old man had said one day, we've got a VIP coming. And in our mess, nobody knew what a VIP was, except me. The CEO said to the signals officer, I forgot his name, didn't you know what a VIP was? He said, no. He said, I didn't. Anyway, this came to fruit one evening. Everybody was out on a horse, and I was jogging along on mine, and I was pretty tall then, 6'2". And he comes back off his nag, and he said, oh, this will suit you. He said, you're tall. Well, it was a big horse, you can tell. I couldn't get on it unaided. And I thought, oh, well, I'm going to come back off as soon as possible. Anyway, we jogged along, and it started to move, you see. Well, not being an accomplished rider or anything, my heels started to go into him, you see, and he went faster and faster. And I'll never forget it. There was this fence looming up in front of me, and I thought, my God, he's going to take that, and I've got to get smashed up here. But I remember pulling one foot out of the stirrup one side, and the other with just a toe on, and as he hit this fence, I left him. And they didn't collect him again until late on at night. But well, with horse riding, skiing, the old man said he never had so many casualties in the battalion in all his life.
Did you go skiing?
Yes, oh yes.
What was that about? What was all that about?
Well, in the place where we were at Everstein once, the chappie there was the crack skier of Steiermark, which was that particular area, and he took us out, and none of us were very good on skis. It's quite an accomplished art. Yeah, but the horse riding business, aren't they? Yeah. And these poor beggars, we didn't know at the time, we were having to round them up.
The Cossacks.
And that was on Churchill's orders, that was. And we had to round them up, and they were sent back to Russia, where I think the majority of them were for the chop.
How did they react when you rounded them up?
But
how did they react when you rounded them up?
Nothing they could do about it. No, nothing they could do about it. Very, very sort of peaceful. And then another job I had there was the conversion of money. That was from the German money to the marks that we had to replace them with. And I had to take a 3-tonner and a couple of men, and went round various villages where we exchanged money, and we're based at Graz, and I can see it now. We went over to Graz and Bridge, and we went to the Pink Elephant. Now, the Pink Elephant was run by a Yorkshire woman, and she made us very, very welcome, very welcome. Anyway, that was Austria, and there's the Austria I enjoyed, very nice. I stayed there until I came home on leave. At that time, the battalion was being broken up.
When would this be?
Pardon?
Would this be February 1946?
Yes, around about that time. Yes, as I came out, it was late March. The battalion was being broken up, and when I got back from leave, I went to Eric Armitage, who'd been made a major of the C Company, a second in command. And he was, although he is one of the terrible three, he is very good to me. And he said, I know you like a bit of fishing, John. He said, if I wanted to take a parade, he said, I'll give you 24 hours' notice. That we got three youngsters come out from England, you see. And it was one day we were, there were just the two of us in the mess. The youngsters couldn't drink, you see. They used to make their excuses and leave. And Eric and I could mop it up. You send a sergeant up into the hills to pick up casks of white wine, you know. And we were there one night, and Eric and I were the only ones left. We were got our collars and whatnot undone, and someone came up. Please, sir, there's someone to see you. Of course, Eric started buttoning himself up, making himself presentable, and when they came, it was a woman, you see, and she said to Eric, "Where shall I spend this night?" So Eric looked at me. They said, "You're going to see the burgomaster." he chased her after the burgomaster. We looked out, and it had been snowing, and we looked out, and we couldn't see any footprints, so we realised that she was still in the hotel where we were somewhere. But, as I say, Eric was very good to me. He said, "I know you like her, and I like spot shooting and fishing." He said, I'll give you 24 hours if I want you to take a parade. And one day he said, "It's a lovely morning. How'd you like to take the men for a route march?" I said, "Yes, it'd be a treat." And I enjoyed marching. The wife and I, before we were married, we thought nothing of walking to Leamington and back. That's 34 miles, just for the fun of it. We had dogs all our lives, and we never spent a day at sitters. We never spent a day with what we took them out, rain or shine. So I used to enjoy walking, and used to enjoy walking through the woods with the dogs. And anyway, I took this parade, and it was a beautiful morning, crisp, and I was really, really enjoying it, marching along. And we've been out for perhaps about an hour and a half, hour and three quarters, and it didn't about turn. And we're on our way back to the Blitz and whatnot. And I said, "Right, I'll march to attention." And of course, they started a march to attention, and the young bird a bit stoppy, and I could hear my bastard making us walk, you know, walk to attention. I thought, "Oh, if that's how you feel about it, we'll go on a bit farther." So instead of going to the village, I marched them on a bit farther. Anyway, that settled that, we had a wonderful time.
Were you looking forward to your demobilisation? Oh. You sound like you were enjoying yourself so much. Were you looking forward to being demobbed?
Oh yes, of course, yes. Well, I was a bit disappointed in a way, because I wanted to be commissioned. But I was too old, you see.
Well, you wanted to stay in the army?
I wanted to stay in the army.
As a regular?
Yes. Well, it's not a good thing. But anyway, I was too old, and that was that.
One other thing is, we hadn't mentioned before, did you miss, I mean, you were married and you were older,
yes.
Did you miss you? The prolonged lap, you know, not being able to see your wife for so long.
Oh, yes, of course.
I mean, how did she feel being left at home?
She didn't know anything about it at the time, so I didn't tell her. But if I'd been committed to a regular, she'd have come with me, obviously. But
did you write home regularly?
Pardon?
Did you write home regularly?
Oh yes.
And you got letters from her?
Fun.
And you got letters from her?
Yes.
So what about your demobilised? That was March, was it, 1946?
Yes, that's right.
Tell me about that.
When it came through, prior to that, Eric said, "You'll enjoy yourself shooting." He said, I think I'd like to go out with you one day. So he said, you think you can find me a gun? So I went up to the burgomaster and said, I don't suppose you've got such a thing as a 12-bore, you can let the major have it. He said, I have, and some ammunition. And so I brought it back, and I got my 303, and we went across some ploughed field. I said to Eric, better go quietly here, because there are hares along here, and if you go quiet, it wasn't disturbed much, they'd just sit up, and you could pop them down, you see. Anyway, as we went along this over this ploughed field, I went in front, and Eric had stopped to break his gun and put a couple of cartridges in. And as he snapped it up, the whole lot whistled past my head. Now, I don't know who was more frightened, myself or Eric. Anyway, eventually he got a pheasant, and this pheasant came down among some houses, and the ostriches there thought they'd been attacked again, but anyway, we put them at their ease. And as for the gobbin, when I left, before I left rather, when I got back from my first leave, when I went to Eric, and then after I went back from leave, when I got back, another chappie had taken MTO, and that's when I went as second in command to Eric, and I stayed with him until I wasn't demobbed, I was released, because then we weren't sure who we were going to fight after that. They wouldn't give me a regular commission, but they wouldn't demob me. I was released.
What does that mean?
Pardon?
What did it mean? What was the difference?
You were released, and you could be called back at any notice.
And
that was in March, and that was the end of my army career. That was.
And did you have trouble settling back into civilian life? Because you were a co-op branch manager,
no,
weren't you?
No, I had no trouble whatsoever there. No.
Did you miss the army?
The only thing I missed was the male companionship. Now, I had a fishing pal. The wife used to say, you're looking edgy, what's wrong? She said, I'll go down and have a natter with Don. You see, I was missing male companionship. And I still miss male companionship now, because all my friends are dead.
Do you still keep in touch? Are you a member of the Regimental Association? Because
No, what happened was, We were in Spain one year. Ever since 1960, we only had one holiday in England, which was due to hip replacement. We bought a summer house instead. ever since that, we've always had holidays overseas, and we were a table on one occasion, and there was a couple there, and he said, I suppose you were in the army. I said, oh yes. He said, well, I am. He said, but I've got to come out through sickness. He said, who are you with? I said, the Seward Foresters. He said, oh, we've got a chappie with us who's in the Sherwood Foresters. He said his name is Oliver. He was then a major. I said, not Reg Oliver. He said, that's him. And of course I wrote to him, and we got in touch after that. And then how I got into got in contact with the battalion, one of the chappies who was in the concert party remembered I worked the co-op, you see. And he rang the co-op. Well, by that time, Daventry had been taken over by Northampton, you see. And he rang Northampton. In the end, they told him that Lambert had finished, and he said, "Have you got a captain right that works for you?" And I said, "Yes, they had." And he then phoned the wife, and that's how we got in touch there. So then I go to the reunions regularly now. We have twice a year in March and March and September. And I think I'm the oldest officer left now.
Thank you very much.
Yes. What's his name?